Hello, and welcome to a roundtable discussion on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, I'm joined by guests for a lively conversation on a topic we hope you'll find interesting. I am joined in this episode by my sister, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on Lost Stars Book 4, Shattered Spear.
Mm-hmm.
This is the fourth book of the Lost Stars four-book series.
It's
the one that was interspersed with the Beyond the Frontier series of books that we read a while back. All of this takes place after the original Lost Fleet series of six books. And this was one where I knew it was the fourth book out of four, and that it needed to wrap some stuff up.
It definitely influences the reading, knowing it's the fourth of four books.
Yes. And I got to a point where one night I was pausing for the night and realized I had about 15% of the book left. So I read it on the Kindle and it gives me those stats. And I'm like, they really haven't covered a few of the things I felt they needed to cover in this book. How are they going to get to an area where I feel they've resolved what they need to resolve?
For me, this book was not focused enough on Drakon and Iceni.
We got a lot more of Marfissa, of Bradamont, of some of the other characters. And I agree, it was not focused enough on them, Iceni and Drakon, the lead characters. Where I felt, and this makes me rethink the pacing of the four books series, as if should there have been a fifth book, they've done whatever. When this book starts out early on with Malin chasing an unknown stealth adversary, like, oh, we're finally going to find out what's going on with Togo, Iceni's missing assistant. Did Morgan survive last book? You know, are we going to find out about the kid? So the whole book's going to be on that. And then we head over to the Iowa system. The enigmas pop in, pop out. What's going on there? And then, oh, we've got this pirate's taken over this other sector of space. What's going on there? Oh, she knows Iceni. And most of the book is on that. And it wasn't bad. And some of that had been set up a little before, but It was not where I thought the story was going.
It felt to me like the author thought everything that we had been doing was about the region of space. And I get it was about the Midway Star System, but he was viewing it as more about the Midway Star System and less about Iceni and Drakon.
I was taking it as Iceni and Drakon are the lead two characters. You know, can they work together? Can they not? And that gets resolved. And the Midway system is their sphere of influence. So it's not just that, but all the stars that are directly connected by jump points. Okay, we've got to touch on that. We've got to move them forward. I get that. And how they deal with one of them by sending a captured person over there to kind of influence things because it's somebody they can work with, I thought was brilliant.
Yes.
And had nice payoff and stuff. But because we'd spent enough time in the earlier books with Morgan and Malin being front and center and Togo being a big deal, the way that played out in this book really undercut stuff. And when we, I hate to talk about the end of the book first, but we kind of have to in this. It basically all comes down to almost, I think, the final scene.
Pretty much, yeah.
Where it's like, oh my God, this all hasn't been resolved. And then all of a sudden, a couple of things come to the head and bang. It's like, okay, we're done.
Yes. And it was very much a, why weren't you looking for that? To me. You knew this wasn't resolved. You knew one person definitely didn't want this. Another person probably didn't want this. So why weren't you looking for this secured room to be breached? I mean, you've talked for four books about how nowhere is truly secure.
And that's why they were shifting different conference rooms and stuff like this. But to not have made any serious progress on finding Togo or even what his motivations are, for things to come to a head in the final section of the book and have a couple of things almost instantly resolved in a flurry of activity where things, certain storylines are just, I felt, cut off at the knees versus resolved.
If the author had not decided to create a personal relationship between Iceni and Drakon, I don't feel that the Morgan and Togo storylines would have been wrapped up. And that's what troubles me.
And that's a good point. Suppose even everything had happened except at one key point in this book, and I'm not sure where it would have been best to do, things break down between Iceni and Drakon. Somebody says the wrong thing, somebody takes it the wrong way, and they're at odds again of, I just don't know if I can trust you. Then that would have set the actions in motion just enough differently that the final scene, would the events of it would not have come to be, that would have prevented certain people from doing certain things, almost necessitating a fifth book.
Yeah.
Because stuff that was set up as far back as the first book, when Morgan had seduced Drakon and they're now going to have a daughter or whatever, the resolution was just kind of a, oh yeah, I got to resolve this. Here, boom, there it is.
Yes.
That gives you the key to the kingdom. It'll get resolved magically.
Yeah.
So a few of the things, like the actual finding of the daughter and stuff, don't happen.
Mm-mm.
There are some rather sudden deaths at the end that I felt were unsatisfying.
Yes.
And it undercut so much of what had been built up in the book. And not only was it unsatisfying for a couple of major plot lines, it ends the thing in a status quo that is, I don't want to say unviable, but unknown.
Well, one of the books that I've picked up that I want us to read is by Catherine Asaro. And I mention that because I really enjoy her books. She does huge world building. She does multi-book, I'll call them sagas.
Mm-hmm.
Her books tend to be 500 and 600 pages. They are just immersive. Okay, why mention her? Because when you go back to the acknowledgments up at the beginning, she is one of the authors that this author thanks.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
The feedback, the help. Well, her books always are built around a relationship.
And I thought the relationships they were building here, both between Drakon and his, assistants of Morgan and Malin, the relationship between those two, Drakon and Iceni and Togo, the various other people like Bradamont or Jero and so forth. I liked all of that.
Well, and I definitely think both the Drakon and Iceni relationship and the Ruggiero and Bradamont relationship, those were significantly better the relationship between Desjani and Gary.
Yes, I felt he fumbled that, although it worked okay.
Yeah.
Here, particularly with Ruggiero and Bradamont, her arc, Bradamont, over the course of this was well done. And I think the author here has a knack of being able to, in one situation, bring something up. Like, okay, we're going to fight the Enigmas. Well, they expect us, because they think we're syndicate worlds, to do the same thing the syndicate does. That's always do the same thing, even if it's a failing tactic. So this is how they fought. This is how they expect us to fight. So he sets that up to then, when something else happens, and it basically is the syndicate doing the same thing the syndicate did that failed, we're ready for that.
Yeah.
Without telegraphing that.
Yes.
So I think the writer here is doing a good job.
He does a really good job with the military tactics and the military explanations. And I feel that he is learning on the relationships side of it. But I think that's his weakness in the writing. And I think while he has been learning from writers like Catherine Asaro, I think he has more to learn there.
Jack Campbell, the writer here, I felt this series of novels did a better job with the relationships than certainly the original Lost Fleet books. I felt he got a little better on that with the Beyond the Frontier, which was written concurrently with this. Here, I think, because he had a cleaner setup, he was doing better. Where I felt this four-book series fumbled and really fell apart was the overall plotting and pacing. Everything felt rushed at the end. Didn't have a satisfying thing, and there was too much buildup for that.
When one of the scenes that did work really well for me was when Iceni was saying, you know, I have to be on the ship. You know, I have to be the bait for the trap. And Drakon's just gut instinct saying no. They throw everyone else out of the room so they can discuss it. And he's basically saying, I won't let you be in danger. And she says, how do you think I felt
yes.
when you went to Yulindi?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I had to let you go into danger, then you have to let me go into danger.
Yes, either we're equals or we're not.
Yeah. And that scene played out really well in every respect. And that was probably one of the really good scenes for their relationship.
Well, and how that was echoed with Bradamont and Rogero, one of them always being sent off when the other one couldn't and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, granted, it too came a little out of the blue, but when Bradamont was basically being recalled by the Alliance, and she's like, I don't want to go.
Yes.
Now, part of it wasn't Gary.
Yes.
Blackjack calling her back. She's like, I don't know about this. But all of that, I felt, played out well. Her new status quo and things like that, I felt, had been set up in previous scenes in this book and previous books where she was becoming part of these people. She was fighting for them.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't just an assignment.
Yes.
She felt she could have a life here.
Yes.
Not initially, but it got to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So with those things, having the seeds planted, allowing them to grow and then come to fruition, I was, again, shocked when I was getting towards the tail end. And it's like, we haven't seen the daughter. We think Morgan's alive. We're not sure what's going on with Togo. He seems to be at odds. Where's Malin going with this?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, if Iceni and Drakon do this thing of effectively getting married,
mm-hmm.
that's going to kick things into high gear. And it did. And literally, it's, I don't know what the page count was there, but
yeah,
there was a scene without before which Malin, Morgan and Togo were all alive. All of that was unresolved. And within a few pages, all of that and the daughter stuff were effectively closed off, with the daughter being, here's the data chip, where to go find her.
Yeah. Well, to me, it felt like basically we've still got kind of the, we're getting the public on our side. There are going to be more elections, etc. If somebody had come in and said, well, Iceni was dealing with the pirate and Iwa and all that, a poll was done. And it was determined in this poll that the people think Drakon as a general, Iceni as a president, that's fine. But if the two of them were to get married, they'd be empire building. Because suddenly they would be the emperor and the empress, or the king and the queen, because they'd be a unit.
If they had done that near the end of this book, that would have given enough fodder for, we want to do what we want to do, but we can't do it because of the public opinion of it, giving time for everything else to play out with Morgan, Malin, and Togo. But those were introduced, those three, as key characters at the first book here.
Yeah, and then suddenly, in the snap of a finger, and in across four pages, it's like, oh, we're tired of having Togo in the books after all. We're just going to cross him off the page.
It's worse than that. I mean, to me, if it were televised or filmed in the span of a minute,
yeah,
you'd have gone from, things are looking good, to what the hell just happened? They're gone. They're dead. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
And that really bothered me.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I knew something like that had to be coming when I got to, I've got 10-15% of the book left or whatever, you know, and in 10-15% of even a 350 or so page novel, can you really resolve satisfactorily those things? And in this case, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say that. It's, I like the writer. I like the world. I like a lot of what's going on here, but I do not think this was his best work.
Mm-mm.
Whereas I would argue the Beyond the Frontier books might have been. Because I felt they were better plotted, and while they were continuing some of what had happened in the first Lost Fleet books,
mm-hmm.
the relationship stuff was working better.
Yes.
The intricacies of the different alien races mm-hmm. was interesting. It was more sophisticated. And this book, I think there was two mentions of Drakon using the name Gary.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he was just having a hard time flipping between the two sides of the story or what. But I enjoyed the books, but my respect for them and the pacing and the writing of them, the writing on a what's happening thing mm-hmm. stage of it, that level was good. So the telling of the story was good. The story being told was what was wrong.
Yeah. I wanted to like this book a lot more than I did. They brought in a new assistant for Drakon.
Which I liked.
Yeah. We met her in the previous book. And I liked her. I liked how she dealt with some problems.
Mm-hmm. I thought moving Malin over to working for Iceni was interesting.
I thought it was interesting, but Drakon never seemed to find out. He'd kind of been working for Iceni all along.
Correct. And it leaves Iceni without any assistant or support structure at the end of the book. So that, to me, it doesn't leave the Midway sector or system in a viable state.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, they've built alliances and partnerships. They got the Phoenix Stars things going, but their house is not in order. It seemed like a pivotal moment for an end of a book, but not for an end of a series.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting And They Lived Happily Ever After, but that this story was told, and the next one, maybe it's going to be on the daughter a generation from now.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were to jump to that now, I feel like there's... Dangling plot threads isn't the right word, but there's something missing.
Well, it goes back to your saying, we never found out Togo's motive. We never found out for sure Togo was the one that betrayed them to the Syndicate and Yulindi.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many unanswered questions.
There was certainly a lot of questions about how did the Syndicate set up Yulindi? How did they set up the pirate and stuff? Some of it's alluded to, and it just happened behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of wavy hands in this series that I didn't feel was there for other stuff, for the other books. And it spent so much time trying, like when they're fighting the enigmas and whatnot, and then, oh, a pass or two, you know, later of the ships, and they're mostly wiped out, you know? That seemed pretty easy.
Yeah.
I didn't feel those fight scenes in space combat were as good as most of the ones we've gotten in this series.
Yeah.
Of all of the Lost Fleet stuff.
Yeah.
So I would not recommend people avoid these books by any means. I think they're good. I think they're solid sci-fi. But come into this series of four knowing that the level of resolution, it may not be as much. And it could be that if we reread the fifth book of Beyond the Frontier, which takes place presumably after this.
That's what I was just wondering.
Maybe that would close it off better. But I don't feel what needed to be closed off here was relevant or in the other books.
No, but I wonder if you end with a better feeling ending there than here.
I think so, because I think that had a better conclusion.
Yeah.
Because here, I feel we wind up with still a bit of chaos in Midway.
Yeah.
So I was frustrated by that. And again, the dancers here were just kind of sailing in from the other series and out. And
mm-hmm.
It feels like the other series was the main story and this was the side story.
Yes.
Not an independent main story going on. And I'm frustrated by that.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of things here and there that I highlighted. I did like early on when one of the people was referring to Blackjack, and the quote was, Blackjack is, and he pauses, for the people.
Mm.
And explaining in terms that the Syndicate people can understand, yes, he's Alliance, but he's one of us.
Yeah.
One of the true us, not one of the Syndic us.
Well, and when Bradamont was trying to figure out how she should sign off on messages.
Yes.
That was interesting.
Well, and it set up her breaking from the Alliance and becoming part of the Midway stuff.
Yeah.
You know, to me, those were stepping stones that I appreciated. I did feel there were a couple of places where, and this is just one of the writing crutches I feel the author uses. I think it was in chapter 6. Light was very fast, but in the immense distances of space, it often felt very slow as well.
Mm.
And how we would then refer to, yeah, this speed on a planet, you're blazingly fast in space, you're a snail.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Just like the port is either to or from the star kind of, which yes. We never got in this novel, but it felt like, again, the space combat was almost glossed over. And then the, you know, 0.2 light speed is about as fast as you could, you know, have two ships come at each other and still be able to fire meaningfully. Okay. It was interesting how some of that stuff you've got to reassert every book. It's like in the old X-Men stuff in the Claremont days of Wolverine's the best he is at what he does. Storm has claustrophobia, you know, this, that, and the other. You need those. And this goes back to ancient literature as well, where you would have that phrase to make the character recognizable with the key attribute or whatever.
Yes.
You know, you go to, I forget if it would be Shakespearean or even, you know, Greek-Roman tragedy type stuff, mm-hmm. you know, where in the Iliad or the Odyssey, this is the phrase for Jason or for so-and-so or whatever.
Yeah. Slim-ankled Athena.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like a new sort of a thing. But yeah, literally there was on one page the confirmation that Malin died, Morgan died, and Togo died. And then there at the end, you know, we'll find the daughter and you know, the empire or the civilization we've done built will continue kind of a thing.
She will be the sword and the shield.
Yeah. And again, I'm curious about the daughter, but less curious than if the daughter actually had a name, if we'd ever met the kid, even if it was just for a few moments.
Well, and that also goes back to the empire building.
Yes.
Well, and early on, there was Malin explaining to the new assistant that we have to have both Drakon and Iceni, because when you have two, you don't have a dictator.
Yes. You've automatically got a check and a balance if you've got the right to.
Yeah.
So there was parts of this I really enjoyed in terms of the moment-to-moment stuff, but even Malin, when he was having his missions chasing after the unseen adversary, felt glossed over.
Yeah.
He's got all this tech. Anyone who knew was able to do what he was doing would be able to deal with the tech. And it felt different than when we were getting kind of the walkthrough on how ground forces work or how this worked.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing something through somebody else's eyes that was unused to it or something. And I felt the building of the base on Iowa by the
Enigmas.
The Enigmas was, it's like building the Batcave. It just kind of happens.
Yes. And is well defended.
Well defended. And how do they build it so fast, so quickly, so undetected? Those were things that I felt, it's like, I feel like I've missed stuff.
Yes. But the Syndicate and the Snakes had a new way of forcing compliance.
Yes. And some of that stuff I thought was brilliant in terms of they're sending their families out, so they've got to go fight to survive. You know, it's they're putting yeah. people in impossible situations to get them to do what they want because that's how they work.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because it was a similar tactic to when they took Boyens, I guess it was, and sent him over to Yolinda to help get that place straightened out. And it was a kind of, here's an opportunity for you. You know, we're letting you loose, but we've set you up with some potential avenues.
Yes.
We're not giving you this star system because it's not ours to give, but we think you can parlay what has happened in the light we've shined on it into a position of authority and have built-in checks and balances around you.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's not a boondoggle or whatever, but it's not a death sentence either.
Yeah.
If you play it right. So there were some moments like that that I really enjoyed, but when it's on page 340 out of, I think 342 is where it ended.
Yeah.
Actually, we get, how many pages do we have in this?
342 is where it ended.
Yeah. Just two pages before the end is boom. This is when they resolve what I felt was one of the major subplots that elevated to a full plot with Morgan's betrayal of Drakon and stuff. It just...
But it seemed less significant to the author than it felt to us as readers.
I guess. I just don't see how. I mean, Togo dies on page 339. I'm trying to see where that scene starts. And I think that passage at least starts on 334. So literally within the last 7 or 8 pages of the book, things that have been dangling for a few books now just get swept under the rug.
But there are some who consider a work either character-driven or action-driven.
Okay, let's go with that. From a character-driven point of view, this was unsatisfying.
Yes.
Because those characters were given the short end of the script and unceremoniously killed off.
No, but let's go, when you say those characters, you're talking Malin, Morgan, and Togo.
Yes, what I think were the original set of supporting characters.
But see, for me, even Iceni and Drakon got the short end of the script there at the end.
Well, they happen to be there, but they are witnesses to the events and not key players in what happens there.
Well, and...
So yes, I agree with you.
I mean,
their marriage is what motivates it, but them being in the room is all they had to do they didn't take action. It's not like either of them was necessarily trying to save the day or proactively move the story forward.
I don't feel their marriage was earned, if that makes sense. I feel they were more at the let's go steady phase.
That's fair. I agree with that. I think the let's make it official, and we're assuming it's marriage. It seemed to be that kind of a contract. It was never fully spelled out.
Well, that's the thing. It was a legal, open-ended contract, so it sounded like a till death do we die partnership, which sounds like marriage. It sounded like marriage.
I don't know if it was to the death do you die. It's just open-ended until we cancel it.
Yeah.
So their view on marriage was never even fully clarified, and they had Ruggiero and Bradamont to do that avenue.
Yes.
So that was, from a character point of view, I don't think it served any of the characters well.
Yeah.
And we get, well, I guess Togo's motive with this, and I guess Morgan's was that. Not even a clarification, and Morgan on her dying thing saying, and here's your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Not satisfying at all, because we had no progress, and then boom, it's handed to us.
Well, and I think she utters something to the effect of, I think I always knew.
Which presumably, I guess, means she always knew Malin.
Yeah.
But there was also the, well, I knew Malin would fail kind of a thing. You know.
Yeah. There are ways it can be taken.
Yeah. So it was ambiguous and annoyingly so.
Yes.
So from a character point of view, I give it a thumbs down as an ending. From a plot point of view, I've got to give it a thumbs down kind of a thing. From, you know, yes, there was action or whatever, but I didn't feel like it was the climactic moment of the book. It was a flurry of activity in the epilogue.
Yes. Yeah. Because really, the climactic events of the book would have been back when the pirate revealed that she was double-crossing the syndicate.
Yes.
And that while she could never forgive Iceni for what happened when Iceni was in the syndicate,
she could at least work with her.
Yes. She could understand that the two of them could be a united front against the syndicate.
But we've also had all of that play out. We've had the syndicate kind of doing a dual-pronged attack on Midway and stuff. So we've had a lot of battle there. All of that's over. And in this last bit, it's very much epilogue,
yeah,
you know, material. So to literally have a gunfight there.
Well, and we don't know really what's going on with the Enigmas.
No, the Enigma stuff is still unresolved. The Dancer stuff, as far as this book set of books is concerned, is unresolved. Although I feel they did better with that over and beyond the frontier. I didn't feel that the Midway system was left in a stable state of, okay, they're going to survive. Yes, they've got alliances. That's been dealt with. But even that was tentative.
Yeah.
And then to, again, have this kind of a shakeup in the inner circle, it frustrated me. And yeah. I keep harping on that, but that overshadows most of what happened in this book.
I came out of the book very disappointed. And like I said, when we started, I came out of the book feeling that it had been too much second-tier characters, not enough Drakon Iceni.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's not fair, but because from the very beginning, Drakon was painted as, you could possibly be my knight in shining armor. And then somehow he wasn't given the chance to step up into that role in this book.
To use a horrible analogy, they were set up as King Arthur and Guinevere-ish.
Yeah.
And what we started to get here was Knights of the Round Table.
Yes. Yes.
Between Morgan, Malin, Togo, and I'm not going to associate them with particular knights because my Arthurian knowledge is not that good.
No.
But also Marfissa, Diaz, Bradamont, Ruggiero, Kai, Galen's replacements of
I can't think of the
Satif
name.
Or whatever.
Oh yeah,
something like that.
Serif maybe.
Serif or something like. Anyways, five letter words starting with an S, having an A, a T, and an F and an I in there. Maybe I forget. It's like I can picture it but not pronounce
it. Yeah.
But we had so many of those level characters.
You know, and it's funny you mention that because when I finished this book, the first thing that came to mind was a book I read about King Arthur's legend.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, because there are so many books right now about who really was King Arthur. That's not what this was. This was a history of the evolution of stories about King Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking about how originally King Arthur was a warrior king. And then the emphasis was, but this warrior king is on might for right.
And then it becomes more of a morality play.
Right. And then the next thing you know, there's been this huge change in literature. And suddenly it's Arthur and Guinevere. And then there's another change in literature. And now it's Arthur, Guinevere, and Lancelot.
Yeah.
And then there's another change in literature. And now it's Arthur, Guinevere, Lancelot, and the Knights of the Round Table. And by the time we get to the final change in literature, it's now the Knights of Arthur's Round Table. And what they notice in these final legends is Arthur is in the bookend sections, really, of the story. But he's only in the prologue and the epilogue. He's not in the actual chapters of the story.
How much of that would you equate to some of what I'm seeing in modern day literature around comic characters, where it used to be around Superman or Batman, back when we'd first get those shows in the 60s and 70s or whatnot? Then it starts to be around their origin. How did they become, you know, Lois mm-hmm. and Clark or something like that, or Gotham? And then it's gotten to be, well, let's take a step even further back to, you know, Pennyworth before Gotham, before Batman, before, you know, all of that, or Krypton before Superman comes to Earth to become Superboy or Lois and Clark or, you know, whatever. And we're almost stepping further back. How much of that is, well, everybody knows about Arthur and stuff. This is the untold story.
See, what you're talking about to me is mining for new material.
Yeah.
This was described as being literal changes in genre.
And moving that makes sense.
From action genre to romance genre to a Renaissance romance genre with a love triangle.
Yeah.
And then Knights of the Round Table was in the era of Canterbury Tales.
Okay.
Where it was each of the pilgrims was on their mission and got their tale.
Got it. It did feel like we had a fairly crowded cast of characters by the end here, but most of them were in the subordinate roles to Iceni and Drakon.
I mean, I feel like Bradamont had quite the journey through the four books.
Yes.
Malin and Morgan's relationship got explored, at least.
It got revealed. In the four books. I don't know that it, and it changed the dynamic, but I didn't feel that either of those characters, their situation was different, but I didn't think the character was different between the beginning and end of these four books.
No. Only how they were related to each other was explored in terms of, we caught Malin now second guessing, you know, is this nature or nurture, basically?
Fair enough.
That kind of thing.
I feel Marfissa, Diaz, a lot of the space
people, Contos.
They grew, they evolved.
Yes.
Because they had the opportunity to. Flip side, I think the ground forces people, most of them, other than the one who died, didn't really change that much between beginning and end either.
I'm just thinking that Ruggiero earned respect. He moved.
He had the best arc out of all of them. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
He got a little more screen time than some of the others.
He got a seat at the table by the end.
Yes. Whereas Kai was always the cautious one and never changed. We never got to know him that well either.
But we began to understand why his caution was useful at times.
Yes. There were a lot of good characters, mm-hmm. even if they didn't radically change from beginning to end. Some of them were well used, even if sparingly. I felt there was a lot of story going on here, and a lot of it was the forays to each of the different neighboring systems mm-hmm. that could have been, and some of it was in parallel and set up before. The pirate had been mentioned last book, that kind of thing. But it would have been nice if we had started with, here are the five neighboring systems, or however many there were, eight or whatever, and here are the two or three problems in each that we've got to chip away at.
What I felt this book never touched on, and if I hadn't read all the other Gary books, it probably wouldn't trouble me. But what I feel they never touched on is, we brought people from Ulindi and we took them to Ewa
mm-hmm.
because they wanted to return to the Syndicate. Then we came back home. And then we said, oh, wait, we need to go to Ewa again.
So we and go then to- it's been obliterated.
And we don't take a moment to even acknowledge that we dropped off people and now they're dead.
The lack of responsibility for that. Yeah.
You know, and it's not just that these are former syndicate people and Gary's alliance and Gary has a different mindset. It's that it's not even acknowledged in dialogue that it's not just the residents of Iwa who died. It's also the people we dropped off who didn't have.
Our actions led to their death. It's no fault of ours, but we need to own that. Yeah.
Yeah. If even there had been a line of dialogue of, I wish I could tell myself they had time to get transit off Iwa.
If there'd been a little bit of guilt of, if we hadn't done that, what if this, what if...
If we'd taken them to one of the other planets.
Yeah.
If we had interpreted seeing that Enigma ship differently.
Yeah.
Then we couldn't have saved Iwa, but we could have saved the people we deposited there.
But that's where I think the structure of this set of books, and this book in particular, differed from what we'd seen in the Lost Fleet and then the Beyond the Frontier books, where all of that was Gary's point of view, and we never leave his vantage point.
Well, and like I said, you have to walk a fine line because these are people who weren't raised to think that way. But there has to have been a line of dialogue that could have covered an acknowledgement of it.
Well, and it could have come from any of a half dozen characters that we bounce between.
Yeah.
So it could have been Dracon, it could have been Iceni, it could have been Bradamon, it could have been Ruggiero, it could have been Marfissa, it could have been, you know, Diaz, or almost any of the others. Now, some of them we actually get in the head of, others we don't so much do that.
It could have been Bradamon when word got back after the battle. You mean not just the people of Iwa, but the people we sent to Iwa? And that's when they realize they hadn't thought about it.
I think it should have been Iceni, and in a conversation with Dracon, because he would have the, I've had times I've inadvertently sent people to their death.
Yes.
And it could have been a bonding moment.
Yes. Yes.
So there are ways that could have worked. I think there's a couple of things here that, with a little bit of editing and coaching, could have been much stronger.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that bonding moment would have been very good and important for the characters. Because it's not that the relationship between them makes no sense. The relationship was building and was making sense. It just wasn't to the let's go run off and elope phase.
Absolutely. I think, though, if this had been told from the point of view of a single character throughout, and I don't know who, if Dracon or Iceni would have been the right one, or Bradamon or who, it would have been a different story. Because when we get to the point of, hey, we've got to go take this world that the Enigmas have taken over, it's an impossible mission, how do we do it? Each of you guys assume it's your troops that are going to go, your brigade or whatever. It felt like the group owned the problem, therefore nobody owned the problem.
Yeah.
Whereas with Gary, ultimately it was always on his back to tackle this. Mm-hmm. Regardless of who he sent or whatever.
See, I think in the first book, I figured it would be Dracon, Iceni, Dracon, Iceni, Dracon, Iceni, chapter by chapter for all four books.
But even, I'm trying to remember when we started getting...
We did, even in the first book, we got a few
for Marfissa and a few others. It felt like this time we saw, and I'd love to almost go back through chunk by chunk, see who the narrative voice is.
Yeah.
And see what the percentage is across these books.
It just feels like over the four books, we drifted further and further from Dracon and Iceni.
And part of that was introducing more characters. Mm-hmm. And part of it was a resulting lack of importance of Dracon and Iceni.
And I think that's what disappointed me, was them feeling less important to the story when the first book, and maybe it's what I read of the back cover blurb, made it feel like this was their story of how they were going to stabilize their star system.
I took it that way too, and I don't feel that this book delivered on that story.
Yeah.
It touched, I don't even want to say it touched on or resolved the Midway story, but there were some missteps here. Not, oh my God, Fatal Flaws, skip the book. I mean, it's a good series. I enjoyed reading it. Matter of fact, last night, since I had a little time, we were, you know, we're recording this while we're up at Dallas Fan Expo. So we'd gotten into the hotel room and I had a little time to read. So I reread the first 10 or 20% of the book, and it's a good read. Mm-hmm. There's some places where, again, I don't think it's as strong as the other books, either in the series or the overall series. But it so, in my mind, fumbled the landing.
Yeah.
And part of it is the story had spread wide across so many characters that resolving all of those threads, plus the threads built up for all the different neighboring systems, that's tough to do. Now, if it had ended almost without, not almost, but definitely without that last scene, where I think they'd left off before, was Iceni and the talking to the different representatives from the different star systems, saying, this is our offer, go take it back and stuff. If it had ended with everybody saying, you know, I got to go run it up the flagpole or whatever with my higher-ups, but I don't see why they would turn this down. This is the start of something that we want to be part of and will work. You know, we may have a few things to negotiate. It's not all said and done, but that being the moment that the Phoenix Stars really ignited, if you will.
Yes.
And they had ended on that. And then an epilogue of Iceni and Drakon saying, you know what? It was impossible. We did it. We make a good team. What is our personal future?
Mm-hmm.
And leave it at that. Man, that would have been such a smoother ending.
Yeah.
Provided they had resolved, okay, Drakon's got the girl, the daughter, got to do something with that. The Malin, Morgan, Togo thing had already been resolved.
Mm-hmm.
I would have felt much better there than, again, you know, a couple of gunshots and crap, what the hell happened? Well,
I wish the Malin, Morgan, Togo part had been being resolved on planet while Iceni was off planet.
Yeah, and
more traditional subplot versus plot.
Absolutely. And one that gave us a clear, Togo definitely thought this. In his mind, he was the hero of his story. We never got Togo's perspective on anything.
The closest we got was a shadowy voice telling Gozen that you're working for a deeply embedded snake.
Yes. But game playing, not what's the plan and why.
Yeah.
Why did he disappear when he did? What was the motivation? Did he do this? Did he do that?
Yeah.
And same for Morgan.
I mean, at this point, I do want more of the universe.
Yes.
I'm curious what goes... I want more of the Phoenix Stars.
Yes. Same here.
And I would phrase it as the Phoenix Stars, not the Lost Stars.
Yes.
Part of me wants it on the heels of this to... Because right now they're in ashes and they need to rise out of it. But part of me wants, you know, 5 to 10 years from now when the kid can talk.
That's a tough call because I feel there's almost another book on the heels of this one that should be told to really kind of wrap things up. But the way they left stuff, it can't really be done. In other words, this is incomplete in my mind, but in a state where it'd be awkward to finish it. And I would say I want to see what happens later, but I would almost go more like 20, 25 years later and then have that book have enough flashbacks to fill in the gaps as a subplot.
Yeah.
You know, Drakon and Iceni, maybe they're not around. Maybe they're retired. Maybe we just don't know. And we learn about that. How did the daughter get raised? Is she in power? Is she not? Does she have to take it back over because bad powers have come into play? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know? So I definitely think there's more to be done here, but I'm not as enthused about that as I was prior to the ending of this book.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
I mean, I love the Drakon and Iceni characters and the supporting cast, so I do want to see more.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I think because of that, what you just said, I like the characters. I think that's why I want more, and I want more because this ending was fumbled. I want a better taste in my mouth when I leave this universe.
If they set the thing 20, 25 years, when the daughter is now a protagonist type and not a young protagonist type, and the story is told from her vantage point solely with flashbacks and stuff like that, I think there's a lot that could be done. Whether that's where the author wants to go, I don't know. After this, there was the 3-book trilogy that just recently, the last one got published earlier this year. That
Genesis
fleet or whatever that I think takes place at the beginning of the Alliance Wars with other Garrys, which beginning of the wars makes sense. Morgarry's not a great choice. I would have almost done a Hatfields McCoy Alliance Syndic world and how the thing spun out of control on both sides. But I'm curious about those books, so we'll read them at some point. Whether we get to them as our next set of books or another set that I want to suggest, don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one where I think the author is a good writer, but I feel the planning of this set of four books could have been better. It leaned a little too heavily on the other set of books published concurrently than those books leaned on this one.
Yeah.
So there I never felt I was missing stuff. Here I did, having already read the others.
Yeah.
So part of it was knowing it. Maybe if I reread the other five, I'd feel differently about them now, knowing what I know about these. But also, all of that aside, just within the four books, what was set up at the end of the first just got a throwaway ending at the end here.
Yeah. And that's what left me so disappointed, the throwaway ending.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, using the Olympic gymnast kind of comparison, doesn't matter how good the routine is, if they really botch the dismount.
Yeah.
And that's what happened here. Mm-hmm. And it was not, I mean, other people may read it and say, oh, it's not a problem for them. That's fine. But again, that night I got to where it's like, I've got 15 or so percent of the book left and we're here and all of this has to be resolved in my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, when we talked at the end of the last book, there was kind of a bit of a checkoff list of certain things have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other stuff happened here that we hadn't anticipated, like what happened with Bradamount, but I felt that was good, that made sense. Definitely add that to the checklist.
And it was earned.
It was earned. But we never even get Dracon's daughter's name. We never actually see the character.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to come out of this series saying they landed the ending, another series, a great novel. They were fun. They're good reads. But, and there's that huge caveat, go in knowing that it doesn't land the ending. It doesn't totally botch it. It doesn't totally mess it up. And I read one series of novels when I was in college or thereafter, 300-page novels. There were five of them, and the end of each was to be continued of cliffhanger. It gets to that last one, and it ends, and I'm like, 1,500 pages for that.
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me. I didn't feel that way here. In other words, I don't feel it totally wasted the previous like 1,200 pages.
No, but I kept feeling like
it was
that final scene wasn't earned, and so many things hinged on that final scene taking place.
It was an afterthought, and it's crap. I'm out of room. I got to deal with this.
Yeah.
So that's the part of the planning process that annoyed me.
Yeah, I agree.
So
of the three series, not my favorite.
Least favorite, although I like some of the characters better than I'd like some of the others.
I like some of the characters, and I think he did better with the relationships. I think the writer is learning with each series.
I think the setting and the characters here were some of the best out of the three grouping of novels. Certainly the relationships here I think were the best. I would say plot-wise, story-wise, arc-wise, I would say Beyond the Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the strongest, but there's aspects of the first set that really pulled us into this
yes.
universe that I enjoyed.
Yeah. Well, and as a writer, I think he's continuing to learn and improve on Show, Don't Tell.
Yes. Now, the other thing, in addition to the Genesis Fleet, is there was the five-issue comic book series.
That's right.
And maybe we figure, I think that was published after this, but before the Genesis Fleet, I'm not sure.
Okay, we'll look.
I'll look into that. We may do that next. We may do it after the next trilogy. I don't know.
Okay, we'll see.
But we may also try to get another set of books in there before that. I don't know. We haven't had that discussion yet. We'll have that off air.
Ooh.
There's another set of books that I want to read because there's some other stuff related to it that I want to get into.
The only good news is that the stack of books in the joint to-be-read for the podcast stack is smaller than the to-be-watched DVD stack.
The amount of books we have stacked up is far less than the amount of TV shows, movies, etc., etc., etc. Absolutely.
Yes, that's the only good news.
So we'll get to it all eventually, I hope.
Yes. But
just a matter of time. So anything else on this?
I think that does it.
All right. Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.